Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Apologize for reading the wrong reading there. Also for doing the wrong beginning of Mass as well, apparently, because I thought today was the 20th instead of the 21st. So I prepared to speak to you today on St. Jerome Emiliani and not St. Lawrence of Brindisi. So that's all right. Changes nothing, but we'll make the correction shortly here afterwards. And thanks be to God that the Church provides for us an opportunity. Anytime we make a liturgical mistake or error, that all I have to do is pray the prayer which the Church has said upon my knees before a crucifix, the Inego prayer, and all is forgiven. So thanks be to God for that, and appreciate that grace that the Church allows. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about St. Jerome Emiliani. Do you know who he is? He's apparently the saint of yesterday and not the saint of today. But St. Jerome Emiliani is one of the great saints of the Church, and I think it would be one who in particular that our young lady would have an affection for, because St. Lawrence, or rather St. Jerome Emiliani, began his life as a great military man. When going out and fighting in foreign wars, defending, he gave his life from a very young age for the first 10 years of his life, indeed, going out and doing battle, waging war, and was quite successful at becoming a commander. He took, and I forget what the name of the town that it was, because I don't have it written down, but he was the commander of the entire town, because he was so great at the age of, he was still within his 20s at this point, ruling the town as their great commander. Well, it's just so happened that he was not the best military man, nor the best forces in the entire universe, so he was conquered himself, and was thrown into prison. He was thrown into prison and spent a lot of time within that prison, which he used to imprison others, and he spent that by himself as the commander there in chains, and that gave him a great opportunity to work on his interior life. There he was trapped there, and it turned into a great life of prayer in the dank darkness of that dungeon in which he was, and so he fled and he fled. He particularly grew in his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it was through that growth in his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary that the entirety of the spiritual life and everything that mattered was opened up to him, as she led him more intimately into relationship with her Son and God, her Father. Through a great grace, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she visited him with a particular dream at which she set him free from his bonds. Waking up, he found that he himself was actually freed from his bonds. From those bonds, he then was led out of the prison, which was also left unlocked by the miraculous grace of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and began to walk and to walk and to pass seamlessly, as it were, outside that dungeon, beyond the guards, through the town, outside the gates, and began walking and walking and walking until he arrived at the next town. When he arrived at that next town, he found himself there and immediately took himself to the local church, left unlocked as well. And there, as so many were there for early morning mass, took the bonds, the shackles, which he himself was formerly held bond, which he still had with him apparently, went forward and placed them upon the altar, there at the altar of the Blessed Virgin Mary within that town, as a thanksgiving, and was truly a man of reformed life. Because they recognized who he was, they knew that he himself was a great commander and was supposed to have been in prison for a long period of time, and nobody, they found out, had let him out. He grew in such great renown among the people that he was actually made their local leader as well, their local official there within the town. He didn't spend much time in that way, though, because he was truly converted and decided he was going to give his life totally over to God. So shortly after that, not long after that, leaving that post that he had, went back to his hometown of Venice, and there began to put himself to study the studies of God, to put himself totally toward the service of the Lord. Studying philosophy and theology, he himself became a teacher, particularly teaching his own relatives in the ways of philosophy. From this, he was moved all the more to found great houses of worship. Before we get to that, he began starting orphanages, because there were so many who were destitute around, whose parents, mothers, or fathers had come into hard times, or they themselves were unable to care for the children which they themselves had because of their particular financial situation, because of deaths within the family. These children were left without care, and so they would wander the streets or be sold into terrible, terrible lives. And so he began founding many, many orders at a time when there were not so many orders which were around that would be able to take care of these orphans who were here, beginning in Venice and then moving off from place to place he would go. There was another of the great saints, Saint Cajetan, and one of his confrères went out and also would found hospitals. And so they invited him over to their house, I believe it was in Treviso or somewhere there in northern Italy, to found another one next to their hospital which they had. And so he went throughout many places in Italy, forming these houses for mothers who were unable to care for their children, so that the children themselves would be cared for We can think of this particularly as we are often doing throughout the rest of this year in Thanksgiving for the overturning of the wicked decision Roe v. Wade, that we ourselves should look to found certain things like this and to find ways in which we can help these women to be able to make the choice for life so that they can put their children up for adoption, to put them even into orphanages should they exist in this way so that the children may indeed be well cared for. Is the most important thing that you and I can do is not only to end all these laws which provide for the opportunity for women to take extreme measures toward their children and strip them of their earthly lives, but also to make sure that they are provided with the situations around them so it is all the easier, all the more healthful for them to be able to carry the child to term and to carry them for themselves, and if not, to be able to put that child up for the great gift which is adoption, to be able to do so. And to make sure that we ourselves do everything that we can to help these women to make those rightly ordered decisions in that way of which very few women would ever wish to end the life of their child if they could be better instructed and better provided for it is totally against the nature of women to do so. Now, not only that, but he founded a group of canons, clerks regular, in his local town there in Venice, which are to provide for the prayer, men who would pray and offer mass in the center of the town in order that the clergy might be supported by their prayer as well. But seeing that he himself wanted to go off and wanted to spend a life in prayer himself, took himself to the woods, to the wilderness areas, that he might be alone and be able to just pray. And so too, he had that extreme longing for that time which he formerly had when he was locked away in the dungeon, which allowed him for so much time to work upon his spiritual life with him and God as well. People would go out and see him in that time. And he took himself to one of the most terrible terrible things that I can't imagine any of you would ever desire to do. Maybe Lucy, you'd give yourself to it in some sort of way, but he would give himself to the care and patience with children, particularly those who were afflicted with lice in this way. And so he would take the time to individually rid them of the lice right there. What great patience that would take, right? You can think of how many times when you would raise your young ladies within there to work with them to braid their hair in such a way, the great care that takes. Well, then to remove lice one by one by one from a child's head in this way, a terrible thing, but he had great patience because he had cultivated that through his own life. And so he was not only with this, but also with the healing arts that he had, he was able to spend time to care for those who were sick, to minister to their needs. And so people would bring out their people who were so afflicted in this way to him for his care, which he graciously did provide. Now, because of that, God also visited him with, we have many miracles which were worked at his hands through the intercession of him and through his touch, that many were healed in this way. He would take by himself those who were afflicted with plague in this time, this was the time of the Black Plague, and they would take those upon his own shoulders who had passed away from the plague and carry them out to their place of burial, because nobody else would go near the corpses of such persons. And so because of his closeness to those who were afflicted with plague, he himself was taken over by plague itself and then died of such plague in the same way. Yet he lived such a very beautiful life dedicated to Christ that we raise him to the altars during these times. Now, he died at the age, I believe it was of 57, so quite young. I was pondering that this morning, counting how many years that I would have left to live should I die at that time, and how many years I have to become as holy as St. Jerome Emiliani, which is not as many as I would like, And so to strive for that same work of holiness. So there are a few things that you and I can take from his life. One is that whatever profession that you and I befall ourselves into, whatever we are given ourselves into, sometimes that very thing in which we have come to rely upon, he in his bravery and his courage, his strength, his military prowess, sometimes that can be stripped of us. And we can think of that as being the worst possible thing that it could ever happen in our lives. But as Jerome Emiliani shows us, that it was actually the great cause of his sanctification, that it was in that darkness, in that being taken captive and everything being laid low for him, that he was actually able to attend to what was greatest in there. And through devotion, another point, through devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that he himself was able to find that which truly mattered, to be set free from whatever ills. And so you and I, we recognize that Our Lady is Queen of both heaven and earth, and that she is the most powerful intercessor. And so why do we not confide everything into our hands, not just within a daily rosary, not just within those three Hail Marys that we pray upon rising and upon going to sleep, not in just those other devotions, but do we have that complete and total filial trust in her as a mother and as a queen, that she will indeed answer our prayers? He did, and much to his surprise, she actually did provide for his miraculous escape in that way, because she had a greater slavery for him to attend to, slavery to her, slavery to God in this beautiful way through Christ. Now, beyond that, to see the way in which he cared for children. You and I should see the same way, the patience that he had in caring for children and seeking for their providence, to make sure that what you and I can do, particularly for this pro-life cause, to make sure that we not only fight against these laws and seek to abort those who are bad officials from their office place, but indeed to make sure that we provide ways and build structures around these women so that they might be able to choose that which is greater and better, even beginning here from our own parish. And lastly, another thing that you and I can take from him is in his solitude and patience, before he went off into his solitude and patience, he gave himself to good instruction in morals and in philosophy and in theology. And that began a reform in his local area of the people and of the priestly class. There was a man by the name of Father Ripiger, he is an exorcist. And what he just recently spoke about over the past few, in a conference that he was giving, I think sometime in the last month or so, he shared with the reason why there are such great evils that are going on within our church is particularly because we do not, because the church has given herself to much corruption in the way of her doctrine. So the way that her doctrine is not well taught, that it is not well understood, it is not well practiced within the things that we actually believe, that has been eroded. So then morals have been eroded within the church, and then everything else within her clergy and everything else has gone greatly awry. And so what we need to get back to is to build that strong foundation upon the church has always spoken about, to speak of things as the church has always spoken about them, to get back to what the real truth is. And that begins with our bishops forming us in that way. And then as our bishops do that, also the bishops to be able to build up good devotional lives, the beginning of the rosary, the brown scapular devotion, the miraculous medal, all these great things of devotion within the church, and then the church will begin to turn, and the world as well. But the church will not turn until we begin founding ourselves back upon the right truth of good and right teaching and doctrine. Then morals will be able to, then the clergy will be able to, but it all begins with the bishops. And so all what you must I must we must do is begin by believing it ourselves, and then working through our prayers to help our bishops to be able to make those right reforms of toward the truth of holy doctrine, and then all these other things will fall into right place. Jerome Emiliani began that with his founding of these clerks or canons regular within his town, and that began to reform doctrine and reform morals in that very way. For all these things, you and I can pray through the intercession of St. Jerome Emiliani that these various things will take place within our own lives, but also within the whole of the church. Particularly, we should pray for those who have entered into the military, that through the intercession of St. Jerome Emiliani, whatever may befall them, may be guided by the hand of divine providence, and they may be led to deep and most profound conversion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.